When I was younger, around 10 or 11 years old, I believe, I had an intense, though short-lived, fear of bridges. I don't remember when or how it started. I can only imagine it was due to some scene in a movie or perhaps a dream where a car careened off of a bridge and into the water below, sinking slowly and trapping the passengers inside. At least that is the scene that would play over in my mind as the car I traveled in would cross over a bridge, especially one that spanned water. If we were traveling as a family and approaching a bridge, I would crawl down into the footwell, close my eyes, and ask my sister to tell me when we had crossed completely over. Of course, being the loving older sister that she was, and I the gullible younger sibling that I was, she would give me the all clear when we were about halfway over the bridge. I would crawl out from the footwell only to look out the window in terror and dart back down with some choice words for my sister. That fear, fortunately, did not last long, maybe a few months, but living in southwestern Pennsylvania with its many rivers and streams meant that the scene I just described took place quite frequently in that time. Over the years, I have been afraid of many things, the classics, snakes and heights and failure, and others, being buried alive, or drowning, or serious sickness, none of which occupy many of my thoughts. I have not generally lived a fearful existence, I can say, which is perhaps surprising considering how much my family loves to scare one another. Hiding behind doors or under beds, sneaking up from behind one another. I was raised to love a good scare, something I am not so sure Ashley has come to fully appreciate just yet. But trust me, we're working on it. Fear, an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain, or is a threat. We all have fears, those things that cause our hearts to beat a little faster, our breath to get shallow, our minds to race, our palms to sweat. Perhaps even now, just the mention of the emotion is causing one or more of those reactions in you. It is part of our nature, our way of surviving. And at certain times and to certain levels, it is healthy, even necessary. But like many things, a balance is to be struck. Some live in fear much, if not all, of the time. And that fear cripples them, interferes with the basic rhythms of life. Fear is from the beginning. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid." A symptom of sin and disobedience. And it has been present ever since. The word fear and its synonyms appear over 300 times in the biblical text. Much of the time appearing as part of God's admonition to someone or some ones to fear not or be not afraid. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But as for you, have no fear, my servant Jacob. And do not be dismayed, O Israel. For I am going to save you from far away and your offspring from the land of their captivity." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin." Then the people stood at a distance while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. David the psalmist wrote, "With the Lord on my side, I do not fear. What can mortals do to me?" But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not
be afraid.
For last night there stood by me an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I worship, and he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before the emperor. And indeed, God granted safety to all those who are sailing with me. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. In some ways, the world has changed drastically since these words were uttered and written. And in some ways, it has stayed the same. Fear still abounds. Some might argue it has even grown. One look at the headlines of the day might give you that idea. School shootings. Police officers ambushed, a news crew executed on live television, terrorists kidnapping and beheading, race riots, mudslides, wildfires, stock market crashes, the bodies of child refugees washing up on the beach, cancer. It's enough, isn't it, to make you want to crawl up in a ball in the footwell and wait until it all passes. But through it all, the voice of our Savior calls. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. When he first uttered these words, he was hours away from being arrested, tried, and hung on a cross. Hours away from taking away the sins of the world. And yet his word to his disciples was, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. For he knew, even in that hour, that not even death had the power to hold him. He knew that love would overcome fear. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, friends, we know the same. Where, O death, is thy sting? Where, O death, is thy victory? We know that neither life nor death, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither death nor life. So then what is there left to fear? If God is for us, who can be against us? There are many who want us to live in fear because it is to their advantage. In fear we are weak and we are easily manipulated. Our God, however, urges us not to fear, not to be afraid. But why? Firstly, because true faith leads to true fearlessness. If we trust entirely in God and believe with all that we are that we will never be lost from God, then what is there left to fear? Fear is a sign that our allegiances lie elsewhere. Our priorities are not aligned properly. And our God is a jealous God, who desires and deserves nothing less than all of us and from us. And secondly, because fear leads to inaction, to paralysis. And as we learned last week, our God is a God of action, a God who expects the same from us. If we live in fear, we fail to follow after. We are not the hands and the feet, or the eyes or the ears, or the heart of Christ. How then are we not to fear? Because we have been assured that, though the battle is not over, the victory is won, as is our place in eternity. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place that I am going." But Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" But Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." A room has been prepared for you and for me. But the pains which he endured, our salvation have procured. Alleluia. And we do know the way. And even further, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives." Friends, we need not fear because we have the Spirit. And God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not fear. Be not afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Time and time again, we hear this from God. Sure, in this day and age, there are plenty of reasons to be afraid. But there is one much, much greater reason not to fear. For there is a room prepared for you, and for you, and for you, and for me. Who knows ultimately where we are on this bridge we call life? Perhaps we have really only just begun to cross. Perhaps we are halfway over and at the height. Or perhaps we are nearing the end. But about that day and hour, no one knows. Neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Regardless, it is time to get up, to put our fear aside, and to get to work. For there are others living in fear who have never heard. They do not know that there is a room prepared for them. They do not know that the Spirit is ready to comfort them even in the darkest hour. They do not know the way, the truth, and the life. But we can introduce them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.